This is Romans chapter, lesson 43, Romans 6, 4 through 9. And we're talking about Romans 6, and it is a buffet. And you know, sometimes what we forget is there should be times in our life where we're not, you know, we tend to be formal. We tend to fall into, say, well, I got to pray in the morning, I got to pray at night, I got to do this, I got to do that, and you put it in order. But there should just be, your relationship should be spontaneous. In other words, when you feel yourself down, or you feel something's going on and you're struggling, or you're struggling with something, pick up a chapter and just sit and read it for 20 minutes. Just one chapter. And just stop when you find something that makes your heart jump for joy or catches your heart on fire. That's really how the Bible should be used. It's not just it's not a formal thing where you read it here, you read it there, finish up that and do that. It's not what it is. It's like you go to a buffet and you walk down that table and you've had a taste for mac and cheese, or you had a taste for lasagna, whatever it is. You don't go through the whole thing. You just go exactly to where you have a taste for. And you should do the same thing with the Bible. That's really a good way of helping you out of a lot of mental stress, and it seals leaking very well. When you're leaking, if something is causing you to leak and you get involved in a chapter of Scripture, it really will stop the leaking with no problem at all.
Leaking joy.
That's all we leak, really, is joy in the spiritual realm. Yeah. Oh, you had, okay. Okay, let's look at our handout, page 2. We looked at the word glory last time. And now the next two words Paul writes are even so. Let's see where he is with that. Where is he? Romans 10:9. No, that's not it. He goes from Paul's death and introduces his resurrection. That is, Christ was the... Where do we have that? Just as Christ was raised from the dead. There it is in verse 4. And then he says, even so. Let's find that. Where is that? That's into death was raised up from the Father. Even so, there it is, 4. It says that... that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so. And this point. Yeah. You don't have even so. Okay. What do you guys have? What does it say?
4, it says we were buried therefore with him by baptism unto death. In order that.
Okay, in order that, even so. His point is, just as Christ rose to a new life, we should rise to a new life. Did you get that? When Christ rose, how was Christ's life a new life when he rose? I talked about that before. Let's see who's got the memory. What was Christ's new life when he rose?
King of kings,
King of kings and Lord of lords. That's right. He was no longer Jesus of Nazareth. You don't see any Pharisees and Sadducees bullying him around or telling him what to do, right? He was now the King of Glory resurrected. And Jesus of Nazareth was no longer there. In the same way, Tom, when he was born again, he's a new creature. He's a new Tom. Jesus looked the same. How do we know that's true? Because everybody recognized him, right? But the difference was he was in his glory. And the same applies with us. When the way we were, we looked the way we always looked. But once we're saved, we have a new principle within us. And that new principle makes us a new creature. And where to walk is that new creature. And that is the only way that you can tell if a person is saved or not. Are they walking as a new creature in Christ? Or are they limping along as a tare, trying to keep up with everybody? And that's how you do it. Look at 2 Corinthians. What is that? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Carrie. And 18.
All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Okay. If any man...
That's a good point there. All this is from God. Because sometimes it almost seems like you're giving the instruction that you should walk like this. And you really...
You can't. You will.
Because it's from God.
But you're not doing it on your own.
Yeah.
What's the verse that tells us that he's
going to...
Okay, but there's one in the Old Testament we use all the time. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. I will put my spirit in you, give you a new heart, and I love this part, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will obey my commandments.
Yeah. So you can't do it on your own.
You can't do it.
You will do it as a Christian. A terror won't do it.
Can't do it.
Fake it for, they can fake it for a little while, but you know, the real will come out. We all know how we think.
Yeah.
I know how I think. I mean, I could be the biggest liar in the world here. You wouldn't know it. Here, in church, you see me in church.
There have been many people, I've known people that claimed to be born again Christians for 15 years, and they walked away. So they really weren't saved. And you would never know it. If that person didn't do that, you would have never known that he was a terror. Never. And he never came back because I kept check on him. Let's look. Okay, so we're being a new creature, and it says he is a new creature. And I like that the next part, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does it mean that old things have passed away? What does that mean? Your old ways, your old interests, perhaps your old friends, your old habits. Anything that you did before Christ that offended God, those are old ways. So. Can you understand when you read this verse and you connect it with another verse that says, if anybody carries my cross and looks back, what? He's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You see why? Because you're living in the past. You're living in the old ways, right? I remember when I was in Bible college, somebody gave the example of Lot's wife when they were leaving Sodom. And she looked back and she, of course, was turned, the Bible says, into a pillar of salt, okay? So the fact is that looking, and let me ask you this. Let's get outside of the Christian realm. Let's go into the old realm that we came from. In that old realm, did looking back help anybody, really? If you're a police officer, it helps you. Why? Because you know what to look for, what this person might or might not do. But other than that, for personal reasons, does looking back do any good? Some people say you'll repeat the past if you don't. What? How's that go? You'll repeat the past. No, I'm talking about outside of Christ. Oh. Outside of Christ, when you yeah.
I think it's okay to reflect on the past.
Exactly.
You just don't want to
live it.
In your mind, you can be there and not be present, which is really a feature of not having faith. You know?
Yeah, but some people. But the reason I bring that up is because some people outside of Christ. That something will happen in their life and they can't help but they can't look forward. All they do is keep looking back. And that's a problem. And maybe some of us even did that before we were saved. We were always looking back. Insecurity, unforgiveness. There's a ton of reasons why you keep looking back. You know, they say a criminal that's being hunted, they have no peace. It was Whitey Bulger when they caught him. He said, I was glad I knew this day was coming and I'm kind of glad it's here. Why? Because he kept looking over his shoulder every day. You understand? That's the whole principle of being a new creature. You don't do that anymore. Yeah.
Well, we have our hope and our future as a Christian.
It's true.
Big difference. So we look forward to the future.
Yeah, exactly.
And Andrew's right in a sense because the Old Testament, you see it all the way through where God said, remember.
Spiritual things.
Remember the things that God did for you.
There you go.
Remember where you were.
Exactly. Exactly. But what Christ is talking about and what this passage is talking about is looking back over things that have no... Huh?
He's talking about your actions. Don't go back and live the way you
exactly. Because you're a new creature.
You can look at, but if you're imagining it that way, your actions are bringing you there again.
Exactly.
Wishing for the good old
you're going back to the death house.
Well, and you also mentioned that looking in the past, you can see God's hand in your own life. Oh, well, this happened.
But again, we're talking about
not reliving
yeah,
all of that.
We're reflecting on when we, every time we read the Bible, we're looking back. We're looking back in the scriptures to see what the promises are. But what Paul's referring to and what I was referring to is living it, looking back and living it. That's a problem. Because then you're just right back where you were. What proverb talks about that? It has to do with a canine. That's right. Or a pig that's been washed returns to the wallow. And that's what happens when people go back and live it. How about Ephesians 4:24? Oh, we just read that, right? No, Ephesians 4:24. Jerry.
Ephesians 4:24. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness.
Bless you. Okay, so if you go back up in 22... read 22 and 23 to give us some context to that.
To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds.
Okay, and that's exactly what we just said. That's what being renewed in your mind is. You are.
Yeah, verse 17 tells us. So if we start there, it says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that ye must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have been given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn in Christ."
Amen. Yeah. All right. B, as he rose from death to a new life, so should we. And he rose from death, so we, being made dead to sin and the world by our profession expressed by baptism, should also rise to a new life, a life of holiness. Luke 1, 74 and 75. That sounds familiar. We did that, I think. Luke 1, 74, 75. Sheila.
Okay.
All the days of our life, yeah, and that's how our life should be. There's another passage that says, "Be holy." Why? Because I am holy, right? So holiness, righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, all of those things are things that are action things that we do. We love. We have peace with ourselves and with others. And so that's what Paul's telling us, that now that we're a new creature, all these new influences and these new principles come to bear. And how about 2 Corinthians 7:1? Judy.
2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God.
Okay. And it was talking about, it says, having these, therefore, he's talking about what he just talked about. And he says over here in, starting in verse 14, that's not a good one. It's about separation. Oh, that's what he's saying. Because we should be separated. It says in 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, and the saith the Lord Almighty." Having therefore these promises that he's gonna do that if you come out from amongst them. He said, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Boy, that's something that the 21st century evangelical church could really get a lesson in. How about 2 Corinthians 5:21? Who knows that one without looking? Okay, Wendy. Okay, it's basically saying that you are the righteousness of Christ. In what way are you the righteousness of Christ? What way?
We're created in His image.
Nope. Positionally, In other words, when you're in Christ, you, when God looks at you, he's looking at his son Christ. You remember the parable of the vine? I am the vine and you are the branches, right? So the branch is nothing without the vine, and that's what he tells you a little later on. So if you're in Christ, then you have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. Imputed to you means that it's his righteousness that you have a part of. But it's a positional thing. In other words, it's not now because there's nobody living that's really righteous in the term that he's talking about, the righteousness of Christ. When does that happen?
The second the Holy Spirit comes into us,
that position, but when does it actually happen that we are the physical righteousness of God? When you're in glory. See, now you're there. So in other words, now when he looks at Anne-Marie, he doesn't see Anne-Marie, the fallen sinner. He sees the blood of Christ. He sees Christ in her and her in Christ.
I'm sorry, you're talking about eternity.
Yeah.
So in other words, I'm saying that 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a position. It's every single believer has that promise that you are the righteousness of God. And Jesus shows us that when he says that I am the vine and you're the branches. And that's why I keep telling you that the relationship you have with Christ is that intimate. When you cut a branch, off a vine, what happens?
It dies.
And what else happens? It bleeds, right? So... And even the vine itself weeps, doesn't it? But it heals itself. So we are so intimately connected to him that all of our nourishment, all of our strength, all of our abilities, all of our promises, everything we have comes from that intimate relationship with him. Now here's a question. So how do you claim all the promises and get all the benefits of that relationship if Christ is not number one on your list, isn't the first thing in your life? How much of the blessings do you get? What do you think?
Can't. I don't think you can.
You can get blessings, sure.
You separated from him?
Oh, no, not separated, but if he isn't your first love.
You're talking about Christians.
I'm talking about believers.
Well, you can quench the Holy Spirit. And so if you're quenching the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be walking and producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, kindness.
In your own life. But you're also not going to get any blessings at all.
Exactly.
Why? Because he says that if you regard inequity I will not hear you. And in another place, he says that he'll chasten you. He'll put something in your life to bring you back to where you need to be. So the point I'm trying to make is that we need to understand that the relationship you have with God has got to be an intimate one. It can't be a casual relationship. Because if it is a casual relationship, don't expect much out of it. Really. Yeah.
It was a church. If you turn to Revelation chapter 2, this happened in the church.
Oh, okay.
It was an ancient church. Church in Ephesus.
What is it? Revelation what?
Revelation chapter 2. I'll let you get it.
Yeah. Revelation chapter 2.
And let's start. And this was the glorified Christ.
I remember it now, yeah.
Starting at verse 1, actually, is thus, and going to verse 5. And he says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, and this was the church at Ephesus, it was the ancient church, which is no more. The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. And eventually that happened to them. They didn't. Generation.
Leaving your first love. leaving your first love is taking that relationship and not making it intimate. In other words, in the world we live in today, it's very simple to do that. There's so many things available in the 21st century for us to love. There really is. I mean, right? I mean, the internet, the new technologies that are outside of that, ourselves, we've always had a little relationship there, but we cannot put God behind anything. That's, you need to keep that relationship. I told somebody recently, as this person has claimed to be a professing Christian for maybe 25 years, and they have, right at this moment, they don't have a very good relationship with God. And it's been going on for a while. And I said, how long? How long is it going to go on? How long? How long before you realize that you're either going to, that the misery is coming into your life, is coming into your life because of sin, unrepented sin, okay? Or you're not saved. And I don't care, be upset with me, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. If you don't have an interest in God, and I mean a serious interest in Him, even above all things, then you really have to question your salvation. You have to do that. And if you don't believe that, just read 1 John. 1 John will make that abundantly clear. And so this person wasn't upset with me. This person just merely said, you know, I'm gonna think about that. I says, that's the best answer you could give me. I'm going to think about that. How many times does the Bible tell us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, right? It's not saying that just because he needed to fill up some space on his manuscript. He said it because it's something we should do. We need to examine ourselves. Not, I do this and I do that, but every single person and every one of us knows if we're in Christ or out of Christ. We know it, and we know it, and 1 John, that's the key working word in all of 1 John, know, K-N-O-W. And if you find that you do love God, but there's other things right now squeezing Him out, you need to stop it, because there's nothing more important than God. I was thinking of a family here that has a daughter who's just had a pretty major operation. And I told them on the phone, I said, whether that daughter lives or dies, it's all part of the plan. And you just have to have faith that God is in charge of it. And it's going to work out perfectly for you. And that's it. You know, we have to have that realization that God is in charge. He's sovereign. And it's so easy to forget that. It's so easy to get in the flesh and say, I want to do this or I got to do that. No. And that relationship is really what makes it or breaks it. I tell you this, it's, and anybody here who has walked close with the Lord for any length of time, and I don't think any of us do it constantly, every moment of the day, like, I don't think that's true, but we can walk very close to God. All we have to do is put Him first, and that's really the key. He's above everything. He's above your children. He's above your spouse. He's above your blood relatives. He's above everything. And if you don't have Him above everything, then you have something else on top of Him. And that's not where you want a sovereign God. You want nothing on top of God. He's on top of everything. All right. That's a good verse that made that point. Thank you, Wayne. Revelation 2, 4 through 5. How about 1 Peter?
Should start with 14 instead of 15.
Okay, 1 Peter 14 through 16. 1 Peter, let me get there. Tom, when I get there, go ahead and give a read.
Okay. 1 Peter 1:14-16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy.
I think that's what we were talking about before. And read 17 too.
If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. Conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth.
Hmm. And that's a good one to have underlined and to mark, as he's saying the same thing about holiness and being obedient children.
I like the ESV because it says that at the time of your exile. So he looks at the citizens of heaven. So
yeah,
being on earth is like being an exile from heaven.
Where do you see that?
That's in
verse
78. It says, and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile.
Oh, yeah.
In the NASB puts your...
And King James says sojourning, but I like that, exile. I'm going to put that in my Bible. That's pretty, I like that. And you know, it is an exile. I got the King James.
So mine says pilgrimage.
You got the New King James.
Oh, okay, that's it.
Do you?
Mine has the New King James. The New King James says your stay here.
Huh?
The time of your stay.
Which one do you have?
The time of your stay.
Yeah.
The old King James.
I got the old one.
You got the old New King James? Is that right?
It's the old one. It's
got the 1789.
And what do you have?
The oldest.
The New King James? Huh? Yeah, but she has a New King James too, but you must have a newer edition.
I had the first edition.
Oh. Isn't it funny how they change words, but it all means the same. All right, let's look at the next, number 5. In the last section of verse 4, Paul writes, we should walk in newness of life. Didn't we just do that? 2 Corinthians 5:7. Didn't we just do that? Oh, 5:17. 2 Corinthians. Maria.
Yep, just 5:7.
Therefore, we walk by faith and not by sight.
Okay. Okay, we walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? Give me an example of how... Give me an
example. You've got to read verse 6 to make the whole thing. Because that tells you, that gives you the answer.
Okay, read 6.
Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight.
And it says in 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. And so walking by faith means what? Today, we all walked, I assume we all walked by faith today. What does that mean?
Trust in him.
Huh?
You trust in him.
Okay, but how did you trust in him? In other words, I'm looking for an application of how you walk by faith, how you trust in him.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of the Lord, so staying in the word and applying to
him. Yeah, but that's true, but that's not an application.
Huh?
An application is this. Something bad happened to me today, and instead of getting all worked up about it, instead I said, Lord, it's all part of the plan. I know it'll all work out for my good. Thank you very much. Even if it leaves a mark, it's okay with me. That's trusting in the Lord. That's an application of walking by faith. And knowing that you pick up the phone, and I used to do this, and I don't do it as much anymore, I guess. I don't even know why, but I used to do it all the time. Lord, give me wisdom. Hello? Or if I was going somewhere, and I do it now when I go to Stop and Shop, Lord, let me see those backup lights. I was driving with somebody this week, and they were driving rather, I thought, recklessly, and so I did want to offend them. Huh? So I asked them, I said, hey, would you just pull over now? Pull over. And he said, okay. And he pulled over. And I said, you're driving in such a way that you're endangering your life and my life. So here's the deal. I'm a caregiver. So if something happens to me, something happens to somebody else. So why don't we try to slow down a little bit? Okay? Or I'll drive. Whichever you like. A or B. Which will it be?
Just so you know, that's probably offensive.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it?
I know you're not trying to be, which is nice. So.
Is it really?
You were just very straightforward, but I think that person was probably like, that's really offensive.
Well, he did what I asked him to do.
I'm sure he did. He was probably scared.
Wow. Sometimes I don't get it. I get it, but I don't get it.
I care, but I don't care.
Yeah. I can't believe that, really. I don't know why that is. I don't know why. I guess it's because I say things sometimes with authority, right? You think that's what it is?
Just sometimes, right? No. Tell them like it is.
Huh?
Tell them like it is.
Really?
You know, my wife used to say that. Meredith used to say to me all the time. She used to say, Brian, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I just have that bad habit of just saying, that's how it is. I mean, why dress it up and just say it the way it is, right? All right. No luck allowed, exactly. Okay. Ephesians 4:1. I got to remember that. You think. Ephesians 4:1. Andrew.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation for which you are called.
Boy.
I love that word, vocation.
Yeah.
That comes later.
So walk worthy of the vocation. What does that word worthy of the vocation mean to you? Anybody? Joe, what does it mean to you? Walk worthy of your vocation.
You're a light from the Lord, and be a light. Don't put yourself in a lampshade. Bring disgrace to yourself and the Lord.
I would say, based on what you said, you're a light. Make sure you're shining bright. And that's really what light, how light, because there's a lot of lights out there, you know, some are dim and some are just barely seen, some are even red. But we are a bright light and we should shine our light bright. And that's worthiness of our walk. Why? Because that's exactly what Christ did. When Christ was on earth, his light shone over everything. Now, there's how many men do you think could go into the Pharisees and the Sadducees and into the temple and do what he did? Not to mention all the miracles he did. That was a bright light to the whole world. That's really what he came to do, to show them that I am. That's why he said when his disciples said, hey, let's go help Lazarus out. He's sick. And he said, no, you don't understand. He must die. He has to die. See, that was part of the plan. And he had to stink so that there'd be no question in anybody's mind that this wasn't a rigged deal. Because, you know, they're always thinking that or making up stories. And we see that today in politics, don't we? Well, that happened because of this and this. But he had to make sure everybody knew that Lazarus was dead because he stunk. And that was when he shined that light, when he raised him. And I would remind you that Lazarus was in the tomb bound. He was bound. And that means that he was tied up. He couldn't walk.
He was also showing, Jesus was showing that he would do the same exact thing in 3 days himself.
Exactly.
He was telling him that it could be possible now, so it's coming later.
That's right. And that is the light. That is the bright light that he's shown. And we, as his disciples, we need to also shine that light bright. And the way we do that is we keep ourselves connected to the power source all the time. That's the only way to put it. I think pray without ceasing could be used as a good power source charger all the time. Yeah.
Plus, when you say walk worthy of calling, other people are watching.
That's true.
And, you know, you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing or saying stuff you shouldn't be saying. They're looking at you as Christians.
Mm. And that's another thing, too. Not only are people looking, how is it that we pray for people we love, but yet when we find ourselves in a situation, the people that we love that are not saved watch us sometimes fall apart. They don't watch us. They don't see how we live, how we walk worthy of our calling. They don't see it. And that's why a lot of people think that Christianity is a hoax, because they see a lot of hypocrites, Christians, professing Christians that are hypocrites. Most of them aren't saved, I know that. But still, even amongst those that are saved, if you're a hypocrite, then, and we've all probably had a little guilt in that, but you have to just remember it's a growing thing. Remember, you're on milk, then you're on meat. And between the milk and the meat is a process. And if you know anything about wildlife, what a bear does is a bear will nurse its cubs, but it will also teach them to dig up grubs and to eat berries. And that's exactly what the process is between a new Christian on milk and a mature Christian on meat. And then once you're on meat, then that means that there's different strengths of meat. And the closer you walk with God and the longer you walk with God, that strength from that meat, that spiritual protein gets into all of your DNA. And everything is everything, then you look at everything with an altogether different eye. I mean, look back at yourself now. If you've been saved for any length of time, then look back 2 or 3 years. Look where you were. And look at how far you've come. And that's what I'm saying. So walking worthy means just that. Wherever you are, wherever you happen to be at this particular moment in time, it's from that point on you want to walk worthy of it. If you're on milk, or you're between milk and meat, you got to make him your first love. That is the secret of all growth. And if you don't eat from this word every day, something, I don't care if you take a verse with you, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Okay, you just keep that one verse in your mind. You go through the day meditating on it. It's food. It's nourishing you. Yeah.
I think one idea that's helpful to somebody that's come into know the Lord or knows him recently is that he lives within you now. So you're not just seeing him externally in this book in the way that you perceive him, but as you understand that he's in you, that's where the change really can be very profound, because it's very intimate to realize something's in you that way.
Mm.
And as it gets nourished, it gets larger and becomes part of you, like you just said.
But one of the problems people have, that's a very good point. One of the problems that people have is they've never seen Christ. I'll give you an example. You can go to work and you can have Shana in your heart all day long, because you've seen her, you've touched her, you've talked with her, right? You've had all this relationship with her. But with Christ, because he isn't something, and this is where it's saying that we walk by faith, because we haven't seen him. Remember, he told somebody, you have seen me, but blessed are those that haven't seen me and believe, right? Because we haven't seen him, and it isn't that we haven't seen him. We haven't looked in the right place to see him. Jesus is everywhere. He says, where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. He's in this room right now. Now, you may not be able to see him, but his spirit is in this room right now. His spirit is inside of you. As you pointed out, right? So it's there, but the problem is, because we're such feely touchy people, we want to see it, we want to feel it, we want to experience it. And all you have to do is look at your salvation. Go no further than there. Think of who you were, who you are, how did that happen, and put a face to it. Christ. Period. That's it. The miracles that he's done in your life. And all of us sitting here that know him, we have all experienced those miracles in one form or another, right? I bet you I could say right now, there's everybody here probably has a testimony of what Christ has done for them within the last week or so. And the reason is because we have to keep, or the point is, we have to keep looking always for what he's done for us. When you go home, if Shane is not there, and you look on it, and you look on the stove, and you see a nice meal prepared. The table might be set, okay? Maybe some flowers on the table. You know who did it, and you get this feeling inside of her, and you love her all the more for doing it. And the exact same thing applies with Christ, except you may not see him physically now, but you can certainly experience him physically right now in your life or in the life of somebody else. Listen to when we get together here. I have to actually have a, you think about this, I have to have a bell to quiet you guys down, because the joy is just overflowing and bubbling over. That's a sign of Christ. You have to look at it. And you'll find him if you look at him. As a matter of fact, there's a psalm that says something like that. You have to look for him. And if you look for him, you will always find him. He's in every life here. Yeah.
Well, the body of Christ is so important, because really that's what you're experiencing. It's God's spirit in each believer.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to come together in fellowship, because you're actually loving and caring for the body of Christ, each other.
And not just that.
And it's evident.
And not just talking, laughing and being joyful. You know, it's funny. And then Sunday morning, it's the same thing. It's because Christ is here, and he's in us, but he's here in this room, physically in this room, and or spiritually in this room. Yeah.
The verse that's really good for that is Ephesians 4:5 and 4:6. It says, "One God and the Father of all, who is above all, and in you all."
Hmm.
I was looking for it before, I couldn't find it. I just saw it right in front of me here. So that's good.
That was Sunday's message.
Yeah, it was.
Right? So for us, the key thing that we have to do is we just have to keep that relationship going, and we have to experience God. There was a guy named Blackaby, he wrote a book, Experiencing God. And the term is very accurate. You have to experience him. You have to look for him. Every day, when you go through your day, there's something there that you. Today, I give you a perfect example. I was running late as usual, and I promised Meredith I would do something she likes, so I had to cook something. So I had to make macaroni salad with tuna fish. I had to barbecue some chicken. I had to make some coleslaw. I had to go to the store. I had to do all of this, and it started at 3:30. So I had a lot to do, and so I'm going there, and as I get out of, I get on 202, and I go up the hill. Normally, from my house to Stop and Shop is at least 6 lights, not one. Green all the way through. Went in Stop and Shop, and it was all filled up on one side. I drove down. I just said, well, I'll go down that lane. Influence. I went down that lane, and there was a parking spot right next to where I could put my carriage, and I was about a stone throw from the door. Went in, boom, 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 boom. Everything was exactly where I wanted it, right? I got the cornbread. I got it all. Got it all set up. Went home, and I processed the meat. Got it all set up. Oh, and coming home, every light was green. Now, you know, you come out of Stop and Shop, you take a left, that light is always red.
Always.
And it was green. Always. It was as green as this stem. And I, all the way home, boom. So I get in the driveway, and that never happened. I won't say never. It's happened a couple of times. I get in the driveway, and I say, Lord, 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 thank you. I said, that was just so wonderful. What a ride. What an experience. And I didn't even break the speed limit, Lord. It was great. It was great. So the point I'm trying to make is I looked at that as a sign from God that he knew what I was going through. And you know what? We'll fix those lights. Mm-hmm. And he did. I look at that. Now, somebody could say, well, you know, you could do that. That's kind of stupid. That's okay. It works for me. Mm-hmm. It works for me. And I want to tell you another thing. It's not just those things. It's when we have problems. I don't know how many times I've had problems in my life with something as a Christian. And the first thing you do is, of course, lean on your own understanding. But then after you kick yourself for that, you just say, no, I'm not doing that. You start thinking about God and you start relaxing. All the problems in my life have boiled down to me, first of all, and my will or my flesh. But as a Christian, they've all boiled down to, once I get over myself, Everything is so wonderful. Even if it's not, it's wonderful. And it's only because I have that self-assurance and that promise that everything's going to work out for my good, even if I can't possibly see how. And so that's another way that we see God. You got to start looking for ways to experience God in your life. He's there. But sometimes we go like this through life. We got blinders on. Oh, I got to go there. I got to do this. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, what's this now? Oh, yeah. Oh, I got to do this too. He's nowhere. You gotta relax. You just got to relax. And you got to know that you're... And I told this couple again about when we're born, we get two certificates or two dates. We get a birth date and we get a death date. Every one of our days are measured on this earth. Every one of us. And you're not going to change it. You can go to a gym. You can eat the healthiest food in the world. You can grow your own cows. Anything you want to do. But when your time is up, you're going. And so for me, it just makes everything so much easier just to understand that I got to get a lawyer for this, and I have to get a lawyer for that, and I got to fight this person and that person, but it's okay because I'm going to do it relaxed. You know, one of the things, I don't know if you ever follow boxing, but one of the things in boxing that's very interesting, if you ever watch a good heavyweight or a good middleweight, when they, especially heavyweights, because they extend a lot of energy and they're massive when they move. So in boxing, if you hit somebody, like if you hit somebody in the solar plexus, you're actually expending energy that's in the bloodstream. It just dissipates. So you always will notice that, how do they do that? They get in the ring, they're very relaxed, they take a punch, they give a punch, but they're always relaxed. And it's those guys that don't lose their breath, that don't lose their stamina, and those are the guys that come on top, the guys that get in. Even for golf, Jordan Spieth, they were talking to him, and he says, when I was winning at golf, I was having fun. I'm just not having fun anymore. You see, how you look at life in general, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. If you're saved, the one thing you should always look for is God in everything. I don't care what it is. These flowers, anything, look for God. And if you're lost and you're listening to this, relax and look for God. Any questions? Okay, we'll stop there.
Pastor, black people can read that.
That what?
Black Lee book you're talking about?
Yes.
They talk about God sightings.
Yes.
That's what he defined him as. And he compared it to a hunter versus a normal person going into the woods. A normal person going into the woods just thinks it's the woods, but a hunter sees broken branches, sees droppings, he sees vegetation mm-hmm. that will eat or not eat, streams, and he's very aware of what's going on around him.
Exactly.
And as we read this Bible, we become like that hunter.
Exactly.
More apt to see the God sightings.
That should be what we do.
I actually want to throw one little thing on there as a hunter, which Brian probably like on this. When you're hunting, you're actually looking for something that looks wrong.
Right.
Because the deer will blend in perfectly. You can almost step on it. But what your eyes will see is something that's wrong. It's the black skimmer thing that you like to talk about.
Yeah, you know what it is on a deer?
And then your brain will go, wait a minute, something's not right. You go back and look. You look there for almost a minute, and suddenly you see the deer.
You know what it is, almost invariably always with deer, is when you're looking, everything in a tree, everything in a forest grows this way. A deer's back goes this way. So when you see anything in a forest that's this way, that's where your attention gets drawn there automatically. But he's right, and you're right. That's true. And so in a sense, and one other thing I'd add to that, and maybe Arthur can agree to this because he's a hunter. When I go in the woods, there's a switch, a cow, there's a switch. I hear things that I never could hear before. I can smell them when they're in rut, I can smell them. I hear things, I see things, my eye, it's like you become so alert to your surroundings around you, it's different, it's really different. And then it's funny, because then after you leave, if you don't harvest a deer and you just leave, the button goes off as you're walking back to your car. But if you happen to harvest one, if you shoot one, then the joy comes in, and then the work comes in, and then you're thinking about, wow, where am I going to hang? You're going to do all these things, right? And it does something to your brain because it stays a lot longer. And it's just like this. But it's always the same. You're in a different mindset. You're when you walk into the woods and you're hunting for something. And as a spiritual creature, you're absolutely doing that. As a matter of fact, you are in a jungle You are in a sin-filled jungle that's filled with creatures that want nothing more than to destroy you. They want to make you shipwreck. They want you to leak your joy out. They want to shoot a dart in you and let you bleed out your joy. That's what they want to do. That's why it's so important from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, to look for God in everything, because He's the one that really protects you. He protects your mind and He protects your body. Okay, any other questions? That's very good. All right, let's close in prayer. And I'd like you to pray for Carol again. Pray for Thanksgiving, and pray for assurance for her.
Carol.
And pray for Meredith too. I'm sorry, Meredith is she had a relatively good day today. She last couple of 3-4 days have been really bad, but she's had a good day today, and just thank God for that. Just thank Him for that.
Father, thank You once again for Your precious word, and thank You for promises like the one Paul gave to the Ephesians. Mm-hmm. He said, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, mm-hmm. we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as You are doing.
Amen.
And that's what's been happening here. We've been hearing from Your word and practical application, and we just thank You, Lord, that we know that nothing comes into our lives, good or bad, that doesn't bless or doesn't bless.
Amen.
What comfort that is, especially in the bad times, Lord. We have many of them in our, as we sojourn here on earth. And now we pray, thinking of that, we pray for Carol, that You would give her assurance, Lord, and just bless her. Walk close to her, we would pray. And we pray also for Meredith, that You would be with her, Lord. She really is a precious lady, and Lord, we can't even imagine being in the condition that she's in. And Lord, we know heaven is going to be such a wonderful place for her when she gets there.
Amen.
And it's going to be wonderful for all of us, but especially for those that I believe that have suffered here physically, mainly. And we just pray for her. You'll give her more good days, Lord, and also give the pastor the rest of you. He's a caregiver, and give him the strength for that ahead. Also, we pray for Commodore's daughter, that she'll have a good recovery, Lord.
Amen.
That this incident might bring her closer to the cross, Lord. Sometimes it looks like they're going away, but there's nothing like surgery or some scare or serious illness.
Pray for cure of the
Lord.
Pray, Lord, You might bring him back, Lord. Stir his heart.
How we thank You that You call us out of the darkness.
Pray for Zach.
Pray for his soul too, Lord.
Speak to his life, Lord, in any way that pleases You. Amen. And we're dismissed. We'll pick up on page 3 next time.
I had a testimony, but I didn't want it to go on. Is that off?